I'd next like to present my view on why defense of China must include its socialist character and the role of the Communist Party of China. The U.S. imperialist ruling class is waging an ideological assault on people's China. To combat the propaganda, we must expose the reason for this extraordinary hostility to China. The class differences of the two countries' social systems. China's emergence is a world-scale game changer with its Belt and Road initiatives to 150 countries, the Shanghai Cooperation Agreement, the BRICS Plus. China has become a shield, an alternative to the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank with their brutal structural adjustment, deregulation, privatization programs. The Africa Summit held in Beijing, the meeting of the Palestinian organizations in Beijing, confirms this. China ended poverty for 800 million people, something that is beyond the power of any capitalist country. Life expectancy is higher today in China than in the United States, and China's growth in living standards is leading the world. So U.S. imperialism is doubling down. Both Democrats and Republicans agree. The Pentagon agrees, NATO agrees, for new sanctions, new tariffs, new rounds of propaganda directed at China. And they're aimed at, and they all say this, preparing for war by 2025. We should take this seriously. In the Pacific Ocean and the South China Sea, U.S. strategists are rushing to construct a NATO-like military alliance. Every arm of the imperialist colossus is planning for this war. Vicious propaganda, expanding military budgets, relentless war games, military maneuvers. So this is a valuable meeting, online and here today, because political movements, parties, and organizations of the working class that take sides in the global class struggle are the most valuable anchor to withstand the crises confronting the working class and all oppressed people. Without this anchor, workers and activists are cast adrift in the onslaught of each imperialist flood. China's gains hold a liberating potential for humanity. If we can explain the reason for U.S. imperialism's hostility and why Washington calls Beijing the greatest threat, we strengthen popular resistance to the U.S. war drive. So we urgently need to take the defense of China to a higher level. Imperialist divide and rule tactics are intended to throw dissension and demoralization into our ranks. And voices in all the imperialist centers are united in slandering China by calling it an imperialist country. They say it's no different from past imperialist looters. This constantly repeated propaganda attacks can make the slander stick. So it's important to underline the class difference between people's China and the U.S. In a capitalist country, totally owned for the benefit of corporate billionaires, the CEOs and board of directors must base their decisions on maximizing profits, or they lose their position. U.S. federal funds feed the military corporations and their subcontractors, providing the highest rate of guaranteed profit. A capitalist economy relies on brutal state repression, enforcing this private ownership of all the means of production, of all the resources. That's the role of the police and the courts and the largest prison system on the planet. It's the role of the Pentagon and the giant U.S.-commanded NATO military alliance. They're the enforcers, 800 military bases around the world. They're the enforcers. With socialist planned production, China has enjoyed steady development for 75 years without recessions, rock-bottom depressions that are a feature of every capitalist economy for centuries. In China, whose economy is still developing, the major productive forces are collectively owned. And since the decisions are not driven by profit, rational planning is possible. The Chinese Revolution shook the world. It aroused workers and peasants globally. It achieved victory, 1949, 75 years ago, October 1, because it was led by the Communist Party of China. They drove out the dominant imperialist powers that had looted China. The early accomplishments were made by a totally impoverished nation, but it opened the road to a new society. The CPC reorganized agriculture as well as basic industries. Every step forward required a mass mobilization involving the great energy of millions of people. They collectively built the basic schools and literacy programs, mass immunization, sanitation, irrigation, dams, infrastructure. They collectivized the land and they enthusiastically broke the back of the old feudal landlord system. In an all-out effort to strangle this new society, the U.S. and its allies walled off revolutionary China from Western trade and technology during its first 30 years. China's tasks were enormous and full of contradictions. It led to fierce debates within the party. In a world dominated by monopoly capital, things were also changing fast, and the leadership of the CPC became convinced that despite many heroic efforts, that the only way out of total isolation and to a new level of productivity and development was to reach an accord with the U.S. and with Western imperialism. So 1978 marks the reform, the opening up. It was a compromise. After this decision to turn toward gaining access to Western technology and trade, China focused extensively on its own development and on gaining Western investment. This necessarily opened China's economy to hostile class elements. Western investment of money, machinery, technology, and skills flooded into China. And along with this, a capitalist class grew in China. Big capitalist corporate investors internationally assumed they'd be able to overturn China's socialist base. They were wrong, and now they are angry. So let's recognize the socialist base of the Chinese economy, the leadership of the Chinese Communist Party in building an economy of a new type. This phase of socialist construction is described by the CPC as market socialism, socialism with a market, socialism with Chinese characteristics. China explains that they are building towards socialism. They're in the primary stage of socialism, and that China is not yet a fully developed socialist country with equality for all. That's an honest evaluation of this long process of change. The Communist Party of China keeps firm political control over this complex and uneven process. The CPC has more than 90 million members. That's incredible. Its cells elected from the ranks from below are in every workplace, neighborhood, school, and department, and they are committed to defending socialist property and to protecting Chinese sovereignty. The key economic role is assigned to the state, a state controlled by the working class. Every major industry, especially banking, remains under state control, a state controlled by this massive Communist Party from the ranks on up. The central banks play a crucial role in subsidizing and developing key industries. Since there's no planning possible under capitalism, it can't solve the overarching problems that humanity faces on a global scale. So I'll close by saying socialist economies based on planning and cooperation can solve many problems. So stepping up our defense of China, its revolution, and its accomplishments is necessary for the collective future of humanity.